How's everybody doing? My name is Minister Lyle Kelsall. I got two questions. The first question I want to ask, by a show of hands, who in this room is perfect?
Just you.
Now I got a second question. Why not? Why not? Glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. Thank you. You just helped me in my... Help me, Holy Ghost. So many times when I was caught in addictions, when I was caught out there in the world before I knew God, I went to churches who meant good and meant right. But in my version, they taught a watered-down version of the gospel. And they would tell me, Brother Lyle, you're going to struggle. Brother Lyle, nobody's perfect. Brother Lyle, we all sin every day. And when you tell a dope fiend that, the first time the craving comes on me, the pastor told me I'm going to struggle. The pastor told me I wasn't going to be perfect. The pastor told me I couldn't be righteous. The pastor told me there's nobody righteous, no, not one. The pastor said that, so I'm going to get me a couple rocks, get me a shower, get cleaned up, and go back to church next week. A couple rocks, if you were an addict like me, a couple rocks didn't do anything. A couple led to 10, which led to 100, which led to jail. That was my story. That was my story. Because I bought that. I bought that. I thought nobody can be perfect. Nobody's righteous. But my life was such a dishonest life. Not just my conversation. My life was dishonest. So when God saved me, he saved me on the added, you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You're not going to preach to everybody, but you're going to preach the truth to those I send you to. He said, because the deep are called to the deep. There's people out here who's believing that same thing. I went to a church one time. This is after I was saved. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And the pastor was, and I was visiting a church, and the pastor says, we all sin every day. He said, I sin every day. And that bothered me so much in my spirit, because there are young Christians here, and I raised my hand in the middle of this service, which is out of character, but I just couldn't stand to go any further with that lie. And I raised my hand. And he knew me for a long time, but I'm my mother's son, and I'm very persistent like my mom. And I kept my hand up. And he finally said, young man, is there something you need to say? I said, sir. I said, I'm confused. Did you say we all sin every day and you sin every day? Yes, sir. I sin every day. I said, well, if you sin every day, maybe you need to step down being a pastor. Now, maybe somebody might have thought I was out of place to say that. It would take a pretty sorry God that couldn't keep me for one day. If the pastor sins every day and he's going to heaven, why don't I get me a bag of rocks and a couple girls and go to the hotel? Why quit? Why quit? Why give my life to God and try to change if you're sinning every day and you're still making it in? These are two sins I choose. I choose me a bag of rocks and two girls. What would be the difference? Let's look at what the word says. Let's go to the word. Well, I didn't have your word with you, but I'm going to read several scriptures so you don't have to try to keep up with me.
Tell me where you are.
Matthew 19 and 2. We're going to start there. Matthew 19 and 2. No, 19 and 21. I'm sorry. I only saw half the word. I only saw look with one eye. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He said, if thou wilt be perfect. He said, if thou wilt be perfect. This is Jesus talking. He says, if thou wilt be perfect. Let's go to another scripture in Colossians 3 and 14. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. This is the bond of perfectness. Then, like I said, I'm going to go quick, so you might not be able to keep up with me. But here it says, James, I'll fall off in a minute. James 2 and 22 says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. James says, again in 3 and 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Job 1 talks about, Job said, have you observed my servant Job, who is perfect and upright in all the land? See, we first have to understand the definition of perfect. See, I may never be perfect to Robert, and I've been knowing Robert a long time. He may never be perfect to me because I'm not going to always do what Robert expects me to do. Robert's not going to always do what I expect he should do. To be perfect in God means to be available. To be available means I'm lining my life up with the will of God. I'm lining my life up with the word of God. And I'm ready, God, for when you send me. Rahab the harlot was a woman whose life, for everybody knowing anything about harlotry, was pretty bad. But when it came time, when the spies were in the land, and they needed a way out, a way of escape, that night, Rahab became perfect. She became perfect because God needed her to be and do what she did that night. And because she did that night what God called her to do, she is in the hall of faith. Her name is mentioned with Moses, Abraham, Noah. We cannot sit back and allow ourselves to be tricked or fooled that we can't be perfect in Christ. Because we can. And we go on and says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. If God would call you to something he couldn't take you to, that would make him a liar. And I know that it says, let God be true and every man be a liar. And I'm saying this to encourage someone tonight, not to try to beat anyone's theology up. I'm not trying to, I'm trying to encourage someone who's struggling with that same thing in their mind when they're all alone. See, because it's nice here in this meeting, we're all together and we can hold each other accountable. We can support each other because we're side by side. But there comes a time where I'm going somewhere by myself. See, sometimes I'm in the night somewhere by myself and you're not there with me. See, sometimes I need to have that thing in my heart, that truth hidden in my heart, that I know that I'm more than you say I am, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because I'm all by myself and that temptation comes. Here comes that temptation. About the time that temptation comes, the enemy allowed the phone to ring. And it's just that person. What you doing? You know what? I just hit a lick. And now I'm wrestling in my mind. Because I want to be accountable to my brethren. I want to be accountable to my God. But my leader, my shepherd, the man I follow, told me I can't be perfect. He told me I sin every day. And I'm going to sin every day. That made the struggle easy for a dope fiend. Make the decision very easy. My next word on the phone is, where you at? Where you at? See, maybe you weren't called into that. I've been in those situations just like that. God, the same God, I know God today, not just as a God of salvation. I know God as a keeper. May 21st, less than 3 weeks from now, I'll have 7 years clean. God has kept me 7 years from any drugs. God has kept me 7 years from being a liar. God has kept me 7 years out the bed with strange women. God has kept me 7 years from stealing. And when I first got saved, I didn't have a dime. I didn't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of. But I trusted him. Because the truth struck to me at that point. That if I just walk upright today. If I just walk upright for right now, he'll take care of the next hour for me. I had to believe those things. I had to quit buying that watered down gospel of the version about nobody's righteous. We read that one verse in the Bible that says, nobody's righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Well, if that's the case, then we need to take some of these scriptures out of the Bible. We need to take this scripture out for sure. the effectual fervent prayers of who? Of who? The effectual fervent prayers of who? A righteous man availeth much. But if no one's righteous, who's he talking about? If the preacher, if the pastor tell me there's nobody righteous, then who is the Bible talking about? David said, I was young, now I'm old, but never have I seen the what? The righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. But if we can't be righteous, we can't be perfect, then who are they talking about? Then if I believe one verse in the Bible, I got to believe them all. See, I'm not one of those people who shop around for this verse and that verse and that's that. I put it all together. See, no, I can't be perfect in me. I can't be perfect in me because no good thing lives in me. I'm a whoremonger, a thief, a liar, and a dope fiend. No good thing lives in me. But when I gave my life to Christ, where I said, God, I'm getting out the way, you come inside of me and live. Now, righteousness lives in me because Christ lives in me. I can be the righteousness of Christ. I can walk perfect in this land. I don't have to be a liar anymore. I can be responsible for my kids and my grandkids. I can be responsible to my mother. I can be accountable to my siblings. I can be accountable to my community. I can stand up and walk right in the ministry. And I can tell people when I'm hurting and be honest about it. See, because sometimes I do have some crazy thoughts. But you know, I tell the truth about it. I tell the truth. I talk to the people whom I respect. I talk to my mentor. I say, man, you know what? This is what's going on. I sit down with my pastor just a couple weeks ago because this lady had been chasing me and chasing me and chasing me. She's got all this money and she's buying me $300 watches and this kind of stuff. And hey, man, for a guy, I didn't want to let that go. But I knew it was wrong. She's a married woman. She said, well, I'm going to leave him. I'm going to leave him. Don't mean nothing. I said, then I told her, I had to get perfect. I had to get back to being perfect. I said, wait a minute. If you leave him, the Bible says the only reason God will give you that reason to leave or give you that excuse is if he was caught in sexual infidelity, in adultery. If not, anyone that sleeps with you after that is going to be an adulterer. I said, I'm not going to let you trap me into that. Now, my feelings still go there. You know what I mean? But it's a thing about we can be perfect if we just be honest. We don't have to fall for all that. We can't do it. Nobody's righteous or because it's a myth. I'm writing a seminar about breaking down the myths in the church about you can't judge and all these things. And I'm not coming against anything that says, well, nobody can judge. If that's not the truth. If you look up that word, they're talking about judging. That word is talking about simply that I don't have the right to condemn you. Or if I judge you by the way you're acting and treat you a certain way, then I'm going to be judged the same way. But if we don't have a right to judge, then I would have married the first woman that liked me, wouldn't I? Why would I? Why I didn't marry her? Because I sought her out, I looked at her, thought about her, and I made a judgment. If I'm not allowed to judge, whoever lived next door to me when I was a kid would be my best friend forever. First person I knew. If I didn't judge, obviously I would go to the church nearest to my house. Why not? It's right here. It's right here. Why not go to this church? Church is church if I'm not judging. Obviously, I would go to the grocery store closest to my house. My kids would go to the school closest to my house. God gave us free will so that we can judge. We make righteous judgments. We can be perfect if we just understand the truth. We don't have to be failures. Someone told me years ago when I came to rehab, well, you know, relapse is part of recovery. It wasn't 2 weeks later. I was high. Relapse happens in recovery sometimes, but it does not have to be my story. Doesn't have to be my story. You can be perfect. People say, like women in the houses trying to get their kids back, and they say, well, I'm going to be a good mother. I said, no, don't going to be. Be a good mother today. Well, how can I do that? Pray for your children. Do what you need to keep doing today to get you where you need to be for tomorrow. That's being a good mother. Just because you can't tuck her in tonight, because you can't take her down to Zesto to get ice cream tonight, doesn't make you not a good mother. Do what you need to do. We need to quit telling people we can't make it. We need to quit telling young Christians that we can't make it, that there's nobody perfect, that nobody. Matthew 5:48 says, this is Jesus talking. Be ye perfect. Therefore, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. If he would call you to be a thing he couldn't take you to, then he's a liar. Then why would I give my life to a liar? I was a liar. I might as well give my life to me. But I had to learn. And these are the things that kept me all these years. It's not a whole lot of years, but it's been 7 years. And for a dope fiend like me, I never thought I could get 7 days, 7 months. God has brought me to 7 years, man. 7 years I've been in and out. I've seen her in every, and her dad in every prison in the state. And his dad said, well, good grief. He said, you go more prisons than me. He seen me in every one. Because I always kept believing that watered down grave. I can't make it. I would cry when I would be by myself, and I would pray to God, and I'd say, God, how come you don't do for me what you did for my mother? See, something took place in my mother when she got saved all those years ago, and it became a difference in her. And I said, Lord, why don't you do for me what you did to my big sister Eunice? I watched her change their life, but I talked to all these people who told me I couldn't make it. You gonna struggle, man. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with that. It's not what you do. You ever hear this lie? It's not what you do, it's how you do it. You ever hear that lie? How many times somebody told you that lie right before they want you to do something wrong with them? Right before they want you to get high with them, or get drunk with them, or get into the middle of this threesome with them, or go steal something with them, or watch for them while they steal something. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's a lie, man. That's a lie. See, am I perfect in my thoughts and what I think every day? No. Do I do dumb stuff sometimes? Yeah. Do I get on my knees and repent right away once I realize I did something dumb? Yeah. Say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to get the strength to get past that right there. Don't take your spirit from me. You know, you look at David. David went through all he went through. And he did some of everything. He was a mess. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. Because once David knew he was wrong, he repented. And he only did that because he knew God. He trusted God. He knew that he could be perfect in God. He knew that he could be perfect in God. And this is what we have to get to. I have to know that I don't have to get high. No matter what goes on in my life, I don't have to beat my wife. No matter what goes on in my life, I don't have to steal. No matter what goes on in my life, I don't have to lie to anybody. I don't have to break in nowhere. I don't have to jump into bed with two girls because they're cute. All those things don't have to happen to me in my life. And if people say, well, God will forgive you. His grace is sufficient. How many times have you heard that? And I'm talking about among saved people. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people who know the scripture. And they'll tell you, well, he says his grace is sufficient. He also said obedience is better than a sacrifice. If I obey off the top, I don't have to get a sacrifice. See, because here's one thing that I know. The sacrifice might be more than I want to give up when it's time to give it up. It just may be. But if I was obeying off the top, I wouldn't have to worry about that kind of thing. We can be strong. We can be strong in each other. We can, and you know what? And sometimes it just takes somebody to stand by themselves or somebody to stand with. I got two short stories that I'm going to finish. There's one story, and I think I might have told this before. I came up, me and my brother was walking, this before I was saved, and I was walking up to this bar on the corner, and it was a fight on Jesse Collins' place. It was a fight outside the bar. And I looked up, and this is my friend, Larry. And he was getting in a fight with two guys. There were two guys jumping Larry. He was going with his sister. They were jumping. I told my brother, I said, Buster, man, look. I said, them two dudes jumping. They had to whoop Larry, man. Crab looked. He said, yeah, man. I said, look, I'm going in to stop this. So I started breaking through the crowd. I get close. Larry see me. Look out the side of his face, and he sees me. And he hit one up in the face and knocked him out. And he jumped up on top of the other one and slammed him and was wearing him out. Instead of me getting them off of Larry, I had to get Larry off of them. But this is the part I want you to get. It wasn't about the fight. This is the part I want you to get. Larry looked at me. He said, Lyle, all I needed was somebody to come on the wall with me. He said, Lyle, all I needed was somebody to come on the wall with me. You don't have to stand alone. You can withstand whatever comes against you. We need to stand up and instead of laughing at each other. Oh, you know she's back out there. Oh, you know he's back in jail. No, man, instead of standing, let's stand up for each other. There's a story. Let me tell you a story. There was a guy in school. He was a sophomore, junior in school, high school. And he goes to his locker. He's cleaning his locker out. But he's got so much stuff. His football and frisbee and books and everything. And he's trying to carry this stuff and he can't carry it. He's dropping stuff everywhere he goes. Another kid comes behind him and says, "Hey, man, here, let me help you." And the kid picked him up to help him carry his stuff home. They split the stuff and he carried it home. Them two guys started laughing and talking on the way home. And they had so much fun. The one kid got home and he invited the other kid in. And they talked and laughed and went on. And they built a bond that was just enormous. The first kid that was carrying the stuff, name's Andy. The guy was helping, his name was Tom. But anyway, so Tom, it came up that year. They were having a great time. They got to know each other, got to be real close. And then it came to Tom's birthday. Andy's birthday. I'm sorry, get this right. And they were having a little party, and Tom comes up to him, and Andy says, "Tom," he said, "I want to thank you." And Tom said, "Well, why are you thanking me? You're the one bought everything for the party." He said, "You remember that day about a year and a half ago when you see me walking and carrying all that stuff?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I had gave up on life, man." He said, "I was going home to kill myself." He said, "But I was going to clean my locker off so nobody had to worry about my problems behind me." He said, "But you came along." He said, "You came along and my life changed just in that walk home. You stood with me, man. You gave me a will and a right to live. Why don't we do that for each other today? Why don't we become perfect in Christ today and not talk about someone's downfalls and not tell people you can't make it? If people tell you you can't make it, you just get away from them. If you went to a church now, they tell you you can't be perfect, leave that church. Go somewhere or go talk to the pastor or tell him, you know, is that, hey, or take him these scriptures. Say, well, wait a minute, how is that biblical? Show me. See, because I'm perfect today in Christ because I do what Christ asked me to do. I'm not going to always do what Donnie expects of me. I'm not going to do what Ben expects of me. I'm not going to do what Pam expects of me. But I'm going to be perfect in Christ because I'm going to be available today to Christ. And because of that, I don't have to get high. Because of that, I don't have to forsake my kids. Because of that, I don't have to worry about going back into that system anymore. It's been 7 years since I walked through them doors of that jailhouse down there. And I don't look, when the police get behind me now, I had an accident not long ago, and the police got behind me and they asked me before it got to my window. I had my driver's license. I had my insurance card. I had everything I needed right here. Here you go, sir. Because I can't be perfect in Christ. Therefore, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's pray.